right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 396. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro, Nicole to the First Power.
Solo.
Nick Mayo is not here again today. We miss him dearly. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Dig the rhythm. Swing.
It is Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. On the show today, we have the Tilt Performance Group talking about their show, Smoke and Mirrors. And later on, Andrea Ariel will join us from Andrea Ariel Dance Theater and their show, The Bowie Project. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Des Moines, Dubuque, and the lovely. Stay with us. Okay.
All right. I love this musical.
What musical is it?
On the Town, right?
It's Wonderful Town.
Wonderful Town. Sorry.
Yeah, different.
Yes, I knew that, but it was The Town. Yes.
I know. And I and now, so here I have this brilliant thing where I played that for a reason. Oh, I know why. Okay. I'll
Morosis
tell you in a second.
Morosis loves this musical. That's well, Morosis the one that got it, me into it.
If Morosis loves it, I love it.
You know.
Checking in with Nick to the First Power.
I'm here.
Listen, shout out to Nick Mayo. He's he is busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
I know. I texted him last week that I was going through withdrawals. He texted back me too, and then I texted him on Friday. I'm officially looking into rehab.
I texted him for his birthday, which is his birthday.
I did text him for his birthday too.
And then I heard back from him 5 days later.
Well, it hasn't been a whole 4 days. Since
4 days
his birthday,
later, whatever, so. Whenever it was, but it took him a while. But yeah, he's been busy.
He's been busy.
So shout out to you, Nick Mayo. You are sorely missed.
We miss you.
Yeah, we're not the same. We're missing a piece.
Yeah, I know.
We're a two-legged horse of our three-legged stool. Don't know what that means.
Stool.
Da-da-da-da-da. Let's introduce who's here with us. Okay, Toby, here it is. I'm going to try to say your last name because I don't remember how you told me to pronounce it. So forgive me. We have Toby Altrabulsi.
That's correct.
I did it right. And Gail Dalrymple, which I'll probably screw up your last name too.
Perfection.
Perfection plus. And later, Andrea Ariel will join us. She's going to come in later in the show.
She will dance her way into the room.
She will dance her way. Kim Simpson, another lovely international folk bazaar.
No, he went to Morocco.
He went to Morocco.
He was all over the place. He took us on a journey today.
You know what's funny?
What?
Many people do not understand that Morocco is in Africa. I'm just going to say that.
Well, I do. Well, oh. I mean.
So, that first song.
Do you know my favorite, you know, my obsession with kaftans? My favorite kaftan is when my mother bought me in Morocco.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go. You know, I have a favorite Afghan.
Do you?
Yes, it's the one my mother knitted to me.
Seriously.
Okay, so.
I am obsessed with kaftans. I want to have like an Elizabeth Taylor, Mrs. Roper
party. I have never seen you wear a kaftan.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to take you. Yes, I sport. Say, yes.
Well, you probably have a lot of vitamin D with that kaftan. Okay.
You two are too peppy for me.
We are very peppy, Toby. So, oh God, it just dawned on me. I said, my very first note is welcome back, Nick Mayo, and he's not here.
I know.
So that
can
first,
we cry again?
Yeah, no, we're done.
You
I'm over
sound
him.
Effect.
So that song is indeed from Wonderful Town, and that was Swing. And I played that in honor of National Swing Day.
I knew where you were going.
Today is National Swing Day. Now, we've talked about swings on this program many times.
Many times.
Swing is that person in a Broadway show, or any show, it doesn't have to be Broadway, in a musical, usually it's a musical, that knows all the tracks of all the chorus.
Every part, everything.
So that in a given moment, if a chorus person goes out, this person comes in and plays that track, which could be, you know, each chorus person has a different track.
Yep.
Amazing.
so cool.
They're incredible. Mm. So
they have to know everything and be ready to go at a drop of a hat. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
So this is Actors Equity called this day, National Swing Day.
I think I said Actors Equity called me today.
But it's a.
I did too.
They did. Hello, Lisa. This is Actors Equity Association.
We just wanted to let you know.
We want to make sure that your membership dues are up to snuff. Yes, ma'am. So this is it's actually a National Swing Day with a social media celebration.
What does that mean, Lisa?
Well, there's a hashtag.
Oh, that's how we celebrate?
The hashtag's Equity Team Swing. And they've Instagram is being taken over. Equity's Instagram is being taken over by Swings Across the Road. The performers are, I will name them, Maren Beckett, who swings in Kiki Boots. They're in Salt Lake City. Malik Shabazz.
That's a great
Malik
name.
Shabazz Kitchen.
That's an even greater name.
And greater show, Swinging in Hamilton, Chicago. Benjamin Susak, who's swinging in Wicked there in Orlando. And Kelly Youngman, who's swinging King and I in Los Angeles.
Nice.
Can't wait to see King and I.
Are you excited?
Yeah. And then Twitter is being taken over. Their Twitter chat is being taken over from Swings from Broadway. And they are Francesca Grinnell, who's in Cats.
That's the first, you know what? Normally Nick and I are both going, meow. And today it was all, didn't even think of it. You were over there. You even had the little claws going and pouncing. There was movement with that, folks.
Just one claw.
Choreography.
Gail Toby, either of you, have you seen Cats?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see it.
Are you a lover or a hater?
I am a lover. A lover of the music.
So when you think of Cats, do you think of, do you have memories?
Memories, midnight, yes.
I proudly have never seen Cats.
That's kind of sad to be
honest. I tried to watch the
why?
The,
there's a, why?
Yeah, but I wouldn't watch it on TV.
Is
this a stand you've taken?
I know. Well, you know, it played Forever in New York, and it was playing, I think, the entire 20 years I lived in New York.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I never went to see it. So I diss it quite often.
Without seeing it.
It's not fair. I
you'd have to be
that.
Walking around with your eyes and ears closed to have not seen Cats.
Well, clearly, you know me well.
I'll ignore that because I never saw Cats.
There you go. So also, Twitter chatting is Paloma Garcia Lee, another great name.
I was like, that is another great name.
Who is swinging in Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812. Mm. Tyson Jennett, who's swinging Book of Mormon. And Jesse Swim.
That's a good name, too.
It is. There's all good names. Swinging School of Rock. Finally, Facebook Live is going to have a behind the scenes of the Brooks Atkinson Theater with Henry Gottfried and Olivia Phillip, who are swings at Waitress. Isn't that great?
That is cool.
All right.
I like
that's the
swings.
End of that story. I do. We love the swings.
We looked at anything they've been? Oh, they're going to. Are they on all day during the day or are they on during show times?
All day during the day, I think, and maybe during the show times.
Maybe on a break, I'll check it and see if anyone has tweeted anything.
We'll check the.
We can twerk the Twitter for you today.
Okay, this also isn't on. Well, I should talk about this. Let's talk first with sad news. Martha Swope passed away. Mm. Martha Swope was the photographer for every Broadway show ever.
I was like, I think for like everything.
In my heyday, it was only Martha Swope. So whenever you see her, and there is a slideshow that you can get on a link at offstageonair.com, which you're going to love because it's got some pictures of your boys, Candor and Ebb.
I was like, I just didn't.
Et Al, and others. It's really an incredible slideshow. And she will be missed. I guess I have the opportunity to have met her.
I was like, did you meet her?
Yep, because she did photograph the show Oh Brother. So there you go.
That's pretty cool.
I guess I have a picture of me with her.
Was Papa Pope in it?
Who? Yes, Papa Pope was definitely in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Papa Pope, for those of you who don't know, is Joe Morton, who plays Papa Pope. So I was fishing around the interwebs today, and after the script was written, and I saw the
You're giggling already. I don't know where you're going with this.
Delightful thing, and I don't know how I didn't see this. I'm guessing you probably did.
I don't know.
So if I say to you, millennials, the musical.
Oh,
I've
seen that.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. It's on The Rock's YouTube channel.
I had never.
It's the greatest thing.
I had never seen it.
Bread.
So just to hear a little sample, here it is, straight off the YouTubes. Maybe not. Why isn't it playing?
I don't know.
Oh, because I had the wrong one up.
Hey, everyone. My name is Crystal. I'm 22, live in New York, work at a startup. And guest tonight at 8 p.m. confirmed I'm on my Bumble date. And yeah, by the way, last night we rocked at that party in Brooklyn.
Okay, I have to stop it here because I think that they get a little nasty
later. I was like,
later.
They do get a little dirty later.
But it is a 15-minute musical. It is produced by one Lin-Manuel Miranda and The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
And it's delightful. It's a whole...
The Rock is funny. Do you know that The Rock loves Dale Watson?
You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, The Rock's cool.
I know who Dale Watson is.
Love Dwayne Johnson.
So, Toby, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was really funny and really sweet.
It was funny.
And kind of encapsulated millennials to a T.
It does. It tells a story of Crystal, and I think his name is Mark or something like that. Yeah. And she is she has a tragedy, and she loses her phone because if she doesn't take a selfie every 20 minutes, she goes insane. And he doesn't know what a selfie is, and they have
he
to find something.
Phone.
He has a flip phone. He pulls out a physical map.
Yeah.
And so they, of course, fall in love. They have a wonderful mm-hmm. date, and then they break up, and then they get back together at the end. It's lovely.
Did you see the other video I sent you about the tweeting from Into the Woods?
I don't remember getting a video from you this time.
Oh my gosh. What's his name? Rainbow.
Randy Rainbow.
Did a video last week about, he used the Into the Woods, beans, nothing but beans, but he did it about Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, I did see
tweets,
that.
Tweets, nothing yeah. but tweets.
You know what, I didn't recognize that from Into the Woods, but now that you say it.
Yes, I was laughing, and I've watched it like six times, yeah. It makes me laugh.
I love me some Randy Rainbow.
I do too.
And I would like to say that good for him, he's now got national recognition for all the stuff he's doing around Donald Trump. And the election, and he has his roots firmly in, I think it was BroadwayWorld.com that he had the show that he did, that it was just so funny when he would interview huge stars.
I wish we should try to get him and interview him. I'd love to interview
Randy
Rainbow.
I would like to do that. I heard him being interviewed by Dan Savage, and we would do a much better job.
I was about to say, but
him.
He hasn't been interviewed by us.
Yeah.
Huh? Lisa and Nick Square.
Exactly. Speaking of the interweb, also there will be a link on offstageandonair.com. There's a video of Taron Killam getting coronated.
Oh,
as
the
King.
Ham for Ham?
It's not Ham for Ham. He's getting coronated. It's not part of Ham for Ham.
Oh, they blasted it and used the tag that when they posted it. I don't know why they did that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it is called it for, because, but it's, it was a private ceremony for the cast.
Yeah.
Every time a new King George III comes on. So Taron Killam is King George III, the fifth. And I believe they even coronate the standbys and understudies.
I think so.
Because that's the first thing. And Rory Kinnear.
It's on. They have it on their website and on YouTube and everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Rory, yeah. And there's a link on our site, offstageonair.com. You can see that. Rory Kinnear does the, and I guess the current King George III writes it themselves, because it's clearly different every time, because everybody was having such a good time with this. And
that makes it more personal,
and
too.
And they put on the garter. And Taron Killam came in, and then what's his name? Help me. He was the original.
Oh, Josh?
Groff.
Jonathan Groff.
Jonathan Groff was there as well. So it was really sweet, and it's really fun to watch. So you are going to want to check that out. So we have a couple more sad things. One sad thing is Dick Gauthier passed away.
I'm making sad face.
And I don't know if you recognize who he is. Do you recognize that name, anybody? Okay. By the way, Gail and Toby, shaking of the heads does not work on radio.
Not, not, not.
Not.
Well, he made his Broadway debut and his one and only Broadway appearance in Bye Bye Birdie, and he played the rock star. He played Elvis. And people will know him. He played Jaime the robot in Get Smart.
I was about to say, he was in Get Smart.
Yeah.
I loved that. Dun, dun, dun.
So he passed away, and he was in
He had a good life, correct? He was pretty.
Oh, he was. He's
yeah.
great.
How old was he? I think.
I think he was in his 80s or 90s.
90s, I thought.
I'm going to say 85.
Oh.
He in his review, Brooks Atkinson in the New York Times for Bye Bye Birdie said he was as a good unsubtle cartoon of hideous reality.
That's a great
description. Isn't that a great line?
Yeah, that really is.
So he did a whole bunch of voiceover work lately. He did the Transformers, the Smurfs, G.I. Joe, and other things like that. So wow. He'll be missed. The other piece of sad news, well, for me it's mixed, because I really don't know how I feel, but I know how you feel, and we'll see how Toby and Gail feel.
Rest in peace,
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about that.
How do we feel about that?
I'm sad.
It's kind of predictable.
It's predictable.
It's kind of predictable.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the end of such an era of kids growing up.
It is the end of an era.
It's just like a history, a piece of his, like
piece of Americana
closed. That's what I think I'm more upset about than like going to the circus or anything.
Yeah. What's interesting?
I didn't really go to the circus or the zoo when I was younger, but the idea of the appeal of it was always there, and it was interesting to me.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's like going, that it's gone is sad. Like,
well,
Nicole
they still
said.
Have some, they're not, I mean, they announced that they're closing, but they still are on tour.
They're going to finish the
and
tour.
They're finishing the tour. I think Rhode Island is where they end, and it's this summer. Thank goodness there is a beautiful Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Museum in Sarasota, Florida.
Right, where they summer.
Where they summer, and they've built, and it's in this gorgeous mansion, and they are going to keep all of that alive. And it's a really interesting and beautiful place to go and visit if you're ever down there and interested. So that will be around, but it's still, you know, it's not the same.
They point to the heat they've gotten from PETA and other animal rights groups, rightly so in my opinion, about the ethical treatment of the animals, specifically the elephants. And I found it interesting. Either they're coming here or they were just here. I'm not sure. But in the commercials...
They were just here.
When the commercials, they still showed the elephants, which they retired and took out of their act several months ago.
In the commercial.
But from what I've read, they're going to make provisions for the retiring elephants that are really...
Oh, they are. They're living.
They already do. They have a
they're
sanctuary.
They're living large. They showed it on the news. It looks really
sweet.
They
created
sweet. I
this
there.
Giant sanctuary for them, and they're still going to keep maintaining the sanctuary and all that. What I found interesting is, even though they said a lot of it was due to the pressures of the animals and stuff, there was a lot of focus on video and technology. And that killed the circus. And I thought that was interesting that a lot of the...
I wonder how the zoos are doing.
Spokesman brought it all up.
I hope the zoos are doing well, as long as
we have an amazing zoo. Our zoo is a rescue zoo that takes in these animals and is basically like a sanctuary. And
really?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what the people do to help take these animals. People
it's interesting,
that
they call
own.
It the Austin Zoo, but it's not really in Austin. I mean, it's in Austin.
I was going to say, where is
in
Austin?
It's
by the Oak Hill Y. It's a little bit out from there.
Yeah, it's a little out. So switching gears here, some good news. Lisa Kron and Daniel Zatchik, who I don't know, were awarded the Kleban. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. Kleban?
How do you spell it?
Kleban. He's the lyricist from Kleban? Chorus Line.
Kleban.
Anyway, they won the prize for musical theater. Lisa Kron, people know her from the book and lyrics from Fun Home.
Wow. I saw some of that when they did the Tonys.
Fun Home was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
Lisa
really
went and
good.
Saw it.
Yep.
Oh, wow. No
I
way.
Did see
did
it.
You
it was
really?
Amazing. The judges this year were Christian Anderson Lopez and her husband, Robert Lopez.
They are everywhere these
they
days.
They are. You can't. Mary Testa and Ira Watzman, who is a producer. Previous winners, Jason Robert Brown for Parade, Jeff Marks and Robert Lopez for Avenue Q, Robert Friedman and Stephen Lutvick, Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. You didn't like Gentleman's Guide, did you?
No, I get annoyed that they only do the same song for press and promo. I'm going to marry you. I'm just like, okay, we've got it. Do another number. I just, for 2 years, it's just the same exact promo.
True that.
So, that's
I
all.
I decided to marry you. I love that you did that.
And it will be in your head all day. I think that's why they do it, because it doesn't leave your head.
So, Something Rotten just launched the national tour.
Yeah, we're getting we're getting it.
Yeah, they're touring here. I thought I saw around
this
last
Broadway
year,
Across
yeah.
America season has it on there, and we're getting some so amazing awesome. People in the cast.
Which is amazing. It's here May 30th through June 4th. What's amazing about this particular time, Austin doesn't usually get the first.
That's
a good sign for the market that we're going into.
I know.
Because we were typically getting the second and third companies.
Well.
And now things are going to change, kiddos.
Lisa, we made a call. We said, Lisa Sheps, she'd like the real deal.
And I would like to say this, that we're getting it before Houston gets it.
I know. I'm jazz handing.
So that's good. Anyway, I find it interesting that it officially launched in Boston, but it really launched in Schenectady.
I was about to say it's really Schenectady. At Proctor's Theater, may I
at
add.
Proctor's,
home
right.
of the first television broadcast.
There you go.
Doesn't that make you think of Free to Be?
It does make you. It does.
No, because Gail and I, there was a line in Free to Be that one of the, it was like something, something Schenectady.
Yep.
Sorry. I just
it's okay.
had a flash.
Schenectady is one of our favorite lyric-y songs out
It is.
There.
My mother lives in Schenectady.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And it has the best Italian pastries you can find
in
Schenectady.
Did she go to see Something Rotten
she did.
There?
She did. She really enjoyed it. Yeah, she's part of the season subscribers. And they get everything before we do.
Yep. Proctor's
is a beautiful theater.
I have played Proctor's before. Talk about what Nicole alluded to is Rob McCure and Adam Pascal are going to be in it.
Yes.
Josh Grizzetti's playing Bottom. So great cast. It's going
to
be good.
I'm excited to see Rob McCure and I'm excited to see Adam Pascal.
I'm excited to see the show.
I like him. I like them both.
I'm
excited to see the show too. Yeah, the show is really exciting and I really love the music and the story and all that.
I'm trying to. Andrea Errol is outside thinking she can't get in the door. I'm trying to motion for her to come in because you see how the sausage is made
on offstage and on
air. I thought it was interesting that there was an article that a man, John Palmer, who's 56, was charged with misdemeanor trespassing for disturbing the Hamilton, Chicago.
Ooh.
And he came in, he was a little inebriated, but as soon as he heard the line, immigrants, we get the job done, he started shouting obscenities,
send him off the edge.
Mentioning Democrats and clenching his fists. So his attorney, Jonathan Feldman, said Palmer was reacting to an audience that was clearly hostile to President-elect Donald J. Trump.
Oh my God.
That's what the lawyer said?
That's what the lawyer said.
But he wasn't responding to the audience. He was responding to a line in the show. Oh, go okay. You go, lawyer. You work that one. Like, see how that's going to turn out.
Okay. And I think. I do want to talk about this one last thing before the last thing. This will be the penultimate thing.
Okay, the penultimate thing. What is the penultimate thing?
The penultimate thing is, and this is sort of a round table opinion thing. And it just dawned on me. You're talking about the show In Transit. And In Transit is not doing very, very well. The Andrea Ariel people came in. Y'all could just circle around this microphone right here. talking about In Transit, which isn't doing very, very well. Their grosses are really poor. But they're talking about how much the running costs would be. And they do not have an orchestra.
I was about to say they don't.
Yet. They are a musical, and the AFFM has a contract. So I'm wondering how many ghost musicians they have. I wonder how many musicians they're paying.
Well, I mean, they're still singing. I mean, because they don't have musicians, they're singing and doing everything off stage besides on stage.
Oh, they should be the musicians.
So are they...
No, they're not getting double salary.
I was about to say, are they getting double salary since they're constantly...
But I did some Googling, and I didn't find it. So if anybody sees it out there, I'm curious... As to whether they are responsible for
it's very
any,
Brad Meltzer of you. I want to know.
I don't know who Maybe Brad Meltzer is, but
Brad
I'm sure
Meltzer?
He drinks seltzer. okay, now the last thing I want to talk about is Jennifer Holliday, amongst others. Did you read this article? Did you hear about
which article? I mean, there's been a lot.
There's only one issue. She was originally going to perform at an event surrounding the inauguration.
Right.
Her LGBT fans went
ballistic,
haywire.
Yes.
And she very rightly said, "I am so sorry. I wasn't taking you into consideration." And she stepped out.
She stepped down.
She stepped down. So I think that's good of her. And hold on, I actually underlined some things in the article. What did I want to say?
It's like she stepped down right at the same time as Andrea Bocelli stepped down too. They both announced their stepping
down.
Well,
he's been having a hard time getting performers. So I'm going to read this entire paragraph. In an interview, this is from the New York Times. Okay. In an interview on Friday, she said that although she had voted for Hillary Clinton for president, she had agreed to sing at a welcome concert on the National Mall the day before Mr. Trump's inauguration because she viewed it as a performance for the people, not the politician. She noted that she had performed at the invitation of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush, and viewed this invitation in the same context. But clearly, you know, she understands who, you know, she
felt that way,
fans.
And the people didn't, and she took that into consideration. So,
So I originally was going to play Jennifer Holliday to open, and then I saw the swing and did that. So we will listen to Jennifer Holliday from Dreamgirls. By the way, so we'll have to take another little step here. Dreamgirls is in London right now, and it's a super smash, and it's starring the girl
but
from.
No, Amber Riley's not been in it right now. She's
been
out.
She's got pneumonia,
and right. The girl that stepped in is like, whoa.
But the all the reviews and most of the claim has been not so much around the show, but around Amber Riley, and the talk is, do we bring it into New York? That if we lose Amber Riley, do we lose the show? Because the show itself evidently
hasn't...
Well,
here's the thing. They lost Amber Riley pretty quickly into the run, and she hasn't been doing the show.
No, she hasn't. I heard that she just missed a few shows.
No, she's still out.
She's out. Okay.
Yeah. She's apparently in the hospital with pneumonia, from what I understand. So that's not good.
Wow.
So there may or may not be a Dreamgirls in New York.
But it's still it's doing really well with this... other woman. I don't know.
Right. Well, chances are the ticket sales were already there.
I know, but that's like London versus New York. So, you know.
I didn't print the article, so I don't know. Okay. And I don't know off that. We'll do some.
I'll tell you. I read an article.
Yeah. Okay. So when I put the show together, my dog, who is my assistant.
What did Sophie have to tell us?
Well,
today?
She was just assisting me. She wanted me to play this song as we left this part.
Tell me, Sophie.
Observe her bouncing along.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro, missing one Nick Mayo. We've been talking to Gail Dalrymple and Toby Altrablusi. You knew I was going to not be able to do it the second time.
Close enough cigar.
Close enough. So we are going to take this time and continue to talk to Toby and Gail, but specifically around Tilt Performance Group's production of Smoke and Mirrors. But before we do, Nicole, you're staring at me. Did I do something wrong?
Oh, no. I had the lady's name.
Oh, what's her name?
It's actually alternating between two people, American performers, Marisha Wallace, who played the role of Effie in the U.S., and Karen Mauve.
There you go.
And they're flipping between those two playing
they're
the role
flipping.
Of Effie.
Okay. Well, so okay. Since we're at a stopping point before we talk to you guys, during the break, I asked Toby to... choose a number between 2 and 54. What did you choose, Toby?
23.
Let's hear what it is.
Let me put my gun down. This is Dee Dee Snavely, and I'm letting you know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air at KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, and it beats the out of Andy Williams.
I have to re-edit that. That beep is really loud.
Laugh. Jason Williams. Laugh, Jason.
So, Gail, you are the executive director of Tilt Performance Group.
That's right.
And Toby, you're one of the cast members and I guess company member as well of Tilt Performance Group.
Yes.
Because you've done everything they've done since I've been involved.
Everything but the first one. Toby has been a main man.
Yes. Well, I didn't see the first one, so that doesn't
there you
count.
Go.
So, tell us about this show, Smoke and Mirrors.
Smoke and Mirrors is a devised show created by the actors and then woven together by our fantastic artistic director, Adam Roberts.
Former
Love
co-host
you,
here
Roberts.
On the Offstage and On
rah,
the Air.
Rah, rah, rah. He's terrific. And Smoke and Mirrors is a comedy. It involves seven characters who both have monologues but then interact together in hysterical ways. And sometimes poignant, and maybe Toby will share some of those poignant ways.
I hope so. And Toby, are there running characters? Do you play a character, or is it vignettes?
Vignettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vignettes. Nobody changes character. Everyone's got their own set character. It's a lot about reflections of themselves in mirrors. That's where the mirrors come from. And also how others see us and how those don't always fit and what's important and what's not. And the characters reveal that as they come up.
Toby, tell us about your character.
My character is a magician. We work a lot with archetypes. There are seven different archetypes. Mine is a kind of a washed-up magician of sorts. He's nearing,
has been.
Yeah, kind of nearing the end of his career.
I tease Toby. I can only tease him because I've known him for a while.
Sorry.
And I know he can take it.
well,
maybe not.
I'm coughing. There's a clown who's like trying to replace me. So it's like the dynamic of comedy,
you know, the circus
versus
thing.
I don't want to say severity, but I guess that's what pops in my head, versus this severity of the presence of stage work.
Right.
We've also got a disco queen. We've got a teenager trying to find herself in her image. We've got a police officer. We've got a fabulous cabbie who kind of winds the whole thing together by taking them all for cab rides, sometimes individually, sometimes with multiple people.
So this is a teenage girl.
Oh, a teenage girl who goes to a beauty shop and has disastrous results.
Oh, no. Don't we all know that problem?
Yeah, and it's fun to watch her because we've all been there, right?
Yes. So you say it's devised by the cast. Can you name the rest of the cast other than Toby?
I would love to. First of all, the cabbie is played by Brian Cheslick, and Brian is a new person. What's exciting is five of these actors are new to Tilt.
Right. When I looked at the cast list, I didn't recognize
a lot
of people.
They've never been in Tilt shows before, which is unusual.
That's really cool.
We tend to have the same company, but we had an open audition this past year, and so many people tried out. We decided to cast these folks because they were each so great in what they brought to Tilt. Brian is the theater director at the School for the Deaf here in Austin. And he is a deaf person, but he is just fabulous as the cabbie. We've also got Quinn Reich, who's the clown. Kay Love, who is also a therapist herself, plays the confused teenage girl. Kristen Gooch, who I know you know, Lisa, has been in almost all the Tilt productions, also plays the bride who happens to have a bad beauty parlor experience.
Oh, no, that's worse.
Mike Hadley is a new cast member, and he plays a very uptight but loving policeman. And finally, Elizabeth Winzig is the ziggy, zany, delightful disco queen who will steal your hearts.
Excellent. Is there music involved in this at all?
During the transition.
Yeah. There's not singing, but there is background music that's been put in there by Adam and Scott Ferguson, which I can assure you will inspire all of us older folks down the history path.
Well, we love Adam and Scott.
It's set in the 70s kind of background-ish feel, so it's like all of these archetypes, you have to it's set in that kind of...
Mary Tyler Moore, think that.
Lisa and I argue over who's Rhoda and who's Mary.
Why would that be? Yeah.
I'm Rhoda.
No, Ron Rhoda. See, here.
No, that's what I got here. I got that here.
I love that movie.
I was a big fan of Mary Tyler Moore show.
How could you not be?
And I did meet her once, so that was
really?
All. Yes, yeah, that's a whole other story.
Doesn't mean you're Rhoda.
It does mean I'm Rhoda. It actually takes me to Rhoda Morgenstern. So, Toby, you said earlier that you would regale us with a little bit of a monologue from the show. Will you do that?
Sure.
Can you set it up? Set up the monologue a little bit for us?
My monologue is, to use one of your words, it's near like it's the penultimate part of my arc as the magician. It's me kind of reflecting in my dressing room. The beginning part is a disaster of a performance, and instead of pulling out a handful of cards, I've pulled out a dead rabbit, and I've just...
Oh, my.
It's like at a children's party.
Okay. So, well,
I'm reflecting at about how I used to be the top performer, basically.
This is Toby Altribulsi doing a scene from... Tilt Performance Group's production of Smoke and Mirrors.
It didn't used to be like this. The industry used to be all about the glamour, all about the mystery. People used to be on the edges of their seats, immersed in what you were doing on stage, as well as the craft. Not just by some harebrained antics of a two-bit comedy act. Now, all they want is their yucks and their popcorn and their immediate gratification. Not a dead rabbit. Ah, what a tragedy. What is it coming to? What am I coming to? Has my whole life just been one big illusion? I used to be the top performer of my time once. Has it all just been smoke and mirrors?
Oh my gosh. Well, you did warn us that it was poignant, but that's lovely. And it's funny. I expect from Toby, because I've seen you do several things, you're so funny. And it's nice to see that other side of you. We're just about out of time. Gail, do you want to talk a little bit about the mission of Tilt Performance Group?
Surely. The mission of Tilt Performance Group involves the fact that we are a company of differently abled actors, and we want to bring what we have, the talents and the beauty of these young adults, and their abilities, their acting abilities, to the community of Central Texas, and let Central Texas see what they can do. And it's just been a wonderful experience. I will tell you that we have performances that are strictly, like we have audio descriptive performances, we have ASL interpretive performances, we're looking into having sensory friendly performances for those with autism. So we're trying very hard to appeal to people all over the city in different areas and of all types.
Wonderful. Well, I can tell everybody
rock.
From first-hand experience, it's amazing to see you guys work and well worth seeing. Tell us, we've got one more weekend for this show, correct?
We do. Yes. We have actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee.
And where is it playing?
Bravo Theater at Balance Dance Studios on South Lamar.
Which is basically right across the Ben White from Central Market. South,
right.
Which is the easiest way to find it. Well, thank you guys so much for
coming on.
Thank
you, Lisa.
Unfortunately,
thank
we're not going to have time to go backstage today, so we're going to have you back on and get you backstage.
Yes, you best.
Okay, sure. Wonderful. That was
Let's have a party at the dumpsters.
That was Gail Dalrymple and Toby Altrabulsi of Tilt Performance Group's Smoke and Mirrors, playing January 13th, which has already happened, but this next weekend through January 22nd at the Bravo Dance Studio. For more information, tiltperformance.org. Okay, and I just love this this song and this song.
Here, well, let's hear it.
Isn't it cool, the four of us sailing around?
I just love Tilt Performance Group.
I love Tilt Performance Group.
You didn't know what?
I didn't know this song. I had to look what you were playing. That was adorable.
Yeah, this is from the First Daughter Suite, which is a New York Shakespeare Festival thing, and it's an adorable little song.
Totally adorable. Yeah, I do love the Tilt. Do love the Gale. Do love Toby.
Do love the everything.
Do love everything.
Which
love
is
Adam
love.
Roberts and what they do.
Right.
Good stuff.
So, did you happen to bring anything locally that you want to talk about?
No. You didn't tell me to prepare that.
Well, we do it every week. All right, let's just jump right into today.
You do yours and I'll do mine.
No, let's just jump right into today in theater history, because we got a lot here. All right?
Dun,
you ready?
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Back in 1882, it was the birth of one A.A. Milne.
Oh, bon anniversaire.
So you know my mother called me Pooh Bear growing up.
Yes, she did.
I should say here that we are joined, the Ariel Dance Company came here. Andrea Ariel is here with us. And others who, well, let's just take the time to introduce yourselves, because I don't have your names on my script.
My name is Nolan Kennedy. I'm one of the actors.
Nolan. Yeah.
Adam Sultan.
Adam. Andrea.
I'm Lise Walker, and I'm the Artistic Director of Strike Anywhere Performance Ensemble.
Wonderful. Well, we're glad you're here. So feel free to comment on this. I just didn't want our people to hear disembodied voices and not know who.
And then be like, what is going on?
What's going on, right?
It is also the birthday of Danny Kaye.
Love that Danny Kaye.
I just L-U-V love.
Yeah.
I was.
He is kind of magical, isn't he?
Very magical. big fan. So there you go. So I
watched Stars White Christmas. Of Danny Kaye on my head right
now. Yeah, me too. I actually saw him in the movie theater in one of his shows in the 70s.
Like he was.
No, not him. I saw. Oh, like most of us see his movies on
TV,
television.
But you actually saw it.
I saw
in
it
the
in
theater.
A movie theater.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, this is a non sequitur.
We don't do those here on this show.
I've always been a big fan of Wizard of Oz. Everybody loved Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can't believe it. I was about to say my favorite movie, old movie in a big theater is The Wizard of Oz. Well, I'm thinking this, but you just brought it up.
I had never been to see it in a big theater, and probably in, totally say in different. The 80s or 90s that I was going to go see it in the theater, and I was like so thrilled. But when I got there, it was still the 4:3 television aspect ratio, which is what films were done back then, and I didn't realize that.
Do you want to know?
I was expecting to see widescreen.
The first time I ever saw Wizard of Oz in a movie. My mother made me go. She goes, "We're going to see it in the theater. It's totally different
Liz
than TV."
Is so mean.
Was it Proctor's nonetheless?
There you go.
And I realized, and that's when I had the whole epiphany of, "Oh my God, Dorothy has red hair." Oh, and when she's leaving, you can actually see the tears on her gingham dress when she's crying. All these things you don't see in the TV, you see it when you're in a big screen. It made it even 10 times
who
cooler.
Who here has seen Wizard of Oz on a big screen?
Raising both of my hands.
I went to the Paramount the Wizard of Oz sing-along a few years ago, and it was very disturbing because...
I don't know how I'd feel about singing along.
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun. But the last song in the whole film is the Lion's song before they go in to see the wizard. After that, after they go to see the wizard,
there's nothing.
No more. There's no other than
I know.
Oreo, Chips Ahoy. Okay. In 1945.
Yes. What happened, Lisa?
Well, there was a novel.
Oh, a novel.
There was a film.
A film.
There was a radio drama.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
It arrives on Broadway in 1945.
What was it?
Rebecca.
Oh, and it's still trying to
and
get back.
And it's still trying to get back. So,
oh my God, the poor saga of Rebecca started in 1945?
Well, no, it started a long time before that.
But I'm like...
I did not realize that it had come to Broadway before.
Although it was tragic.
It was a play first. So we've talked about Rebecca here on the show. This is the ill-fated musical that was set to go into rehearsal, I believe. The first day of rehearsal is when they pulled the plug.
They were in rehearsals, yeah.
No, I don't think they'd actually started.
I thought they showed up and then they were like, never mind.
Exactly.
We're not doing it. I think they did it to him like twice, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but the fire in the staircase looked pretty darn cool.
Yeah, we got to keep going. This is the anniversary in 1968 of a show called The Happy Time.
Why do I know that?
Well, because it's written by your favorite songwriters.
Oh, because it's Kander and Ev. That's why. Okay, yes.
Exactly. It ran 286 performances, and it had Robert Goulet in the lead.
Yeah, he sometimes leaves Camelot.
Now, this is an interesting thing. I didn't know this had this was be set in a day, and of course it would. Today marks the day in 1974 when Michael Bennett assembled his group of players to discuss what would eventually become a devised piece, A Chorus Line.
Yes. It's that singular sensation.
Yeah. It's true.
It's my favorite musical.
And this
in the world.
I didn't realize. I didn't know it was closed. This shows you how ignorant I am. In 2004, North America. North America. I don't know what I'm talking about. Agatha Christie, The Mousetrap in Toronto closed after 26 and a half years.
What? I didn't even know that was going on up there. Where? In Toronto?
In Toronto. All right. That's it. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to...
Agatha Christie.
Yeah. We're gonna come back and get our David Bowie on.
Let's get it.
Shall we? And
we shall.
Hold on. I got to make sure what I'm... Danny Kaye.
Oh.
Danny Kaye. There's Malachevsky, Rubinstein, Aretsky, and Tchaikovsky. Okay. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. We were talking to the folks over at Tilt Performance Group. And now we're going to switch gears to talk to Andrea Ariel and the Ariel Dance Company and their show that is happening coming up this weekend, which is the Bowie Project, next weekend, the Bowie Project, a rock and roll sound painting. That happens when I go off the cuff and don't look at my
26th
script.
Through 29th.
Right? So,
yes, right, absolutely.
26th through the 29th. So reintroduce yourselves, and I'm going to write your names down as we go.
I'm Lise Walker.
Andrea. Andrea Ariel.
Adam Sultan.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for me to look at you. You can just do it.
And I'm Nolan Kennedy.
Okay. Nolan's laughing at us.
Because I'm pretty funny. But let me just make something very clear. Looks aren't everything. Andrea, tell us about this.
Well, the Bowie Project 3 is a collaboration between Andrea Ariel Dance Theater and Austin's Bowie tribute band Super Creeps and Strike Anywhere Performance Ensemble based in New York City. And it is a dance theater in a rock and roll concert going through the life and music of David Bowie.
I love the term that you guys have in the title, sound painting. Mm. That is the coolest word ever. I was like, oh.
It's not only a cool word, it's a really cool system of live conducting.
It's so awesome.
It's a sign language, actually, that's used for sculpting improvisations as they happen so that you can live remix something as it's in motion.
Okay, so this isn't something you created. This is something that's out there, and now we're bringing it to Austin. And
that's right.
That's even more fascinating.
Well, you're actually bringing this back, are you not?
I'm bringing it back, right. I met Walter Thompson, the originator of sound painting, in 1997. And that's actually when I met Lise in 1998, right after that. And I brought him here to do sound painting in Austin. He's also a composer, so he composed music. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to the think tanks that he held every summer in Woodstock for like a month. We dove into this language. We explored it. We developed it. He started it. He was a jazz musician, and he started it using it to guide the improvisations of his group. And then he started expanding it with Lise, with theater, and some other dancers in New York City with dance. And so it's a multidisciplinary form that is all about improvisation and composing in the moment live with those improvisations.
So no two shows are the same.
Right, never.
So tell me, if I'm an audience member coming to Ironwood Hall on the 26th or the 29th, what would I expect to see?
No, I love that you turned and then went, with like the thinker.
I
want to
know what that means.
Over there.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're
going
to get a little insight, perhaps, into who Bowie was. We really delve into what was happening during a specific 8-year period in the 70s where we combed through interviews and then used that as material to riff off of. So you're going to get a lot of great music, some of it recognizable, some of it delving into a whole other universes, but referencing Bowie, and choreography that is also based on Bowie movement, but then takes off from there.
And Andrea, I'm assuming cool. You choreographed this?
We all did. It's an ensemble process.
You said
process.
It was a devised piece. Why wasn't I listening?
Yeah. Right, yeah. So everybody's part of this creative process here, and all the
Even
dance.
Me?
Yes, you are right now in this moment.
I'm there.
We're going to use that.
Please do.
So movement comes from all of us, and we do have one of the things with sound painting is you can have these things called palettes, and they are pre-composed music, text, or movement. And so you can call on a palette that's already set material, and then you can even sound paint that to really play with it in new ways.
Wow, it sounds fascinating.
That is cool.
I want to hear from the actor's perspective. How has it been for you? Tell us what they're fighting over who's going to talk.
But they're so... They're I wish so we had the video going on today in the studio.
Nolan, you go first.
No, you.
Well, it's
talk
it's,
right into the microphone just like
it's
this.
Adam and I are fighting over this because in the show, everybody plays Bowie. So all the actors are Bowie, all the musicians are Bowie, all the dancers are Bowie.
But which Bowie?
All the Bowie. Just David Bowie. Yeah, that one.
Thanks, that Bowie, Adam. Okay.
And Adam and I spend a lot of time, it's like talking to yourself, but they respond, you know, in a way that it's unexpected.
Are all the performers on stage at all time?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Right.
Oh, I like
the
that.
The setting is very much what we're doing this time. We're at Ironwood Hall.
Right.
And this is our third time of performing it. The first time was at Stateside Second time was at Rollins. It was more of a theater setting.
Correct.
And so at Ironwood Hall, we're creating sort of a club venue. And so it's going to be more intimate. There's going to be a bar.
You're Natasha Pierre in the Great Comet of 1812 in it.
I was just about to say, just right. missing the Groves.
That's great. So, Adam, you also play David Bowie.
Yes. And I play in the band Super Creeps, which is a Bowie tribute band. So that's...
Oh, cool. What do you play?
I play guitar and sing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Rock on. So you mystify us with the music.
I guess so,
and
yeah.
the acting and
yeah.
the...
Yeah, I just play the music. The performance will mystify you. It won't just be me.
But he moves in and out of being, you know, singing and playing guitar to also being an actor in the show. So,
I love that. Actually, I love.
Me too.
I love it when performances sort of defy convention and go through the lines.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
especially when you don't expect it. That's the fun part.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and it's full of surprises. All the time. And we had people come to two shows. They were like, really? No two shows are the same, really? So they came to a second show.
They were trying to prove you
yes,
wrong.
Yes, yes, yes. And they showed them. They're like, wow, you weren't kidding. It really is different.
So what do you say to me if I'm not a Bowie fan? I mean, I don't know who that person is.
I was about to say, who is that
You're in
person?
Luck.
But what if I'm not a Bowie fan? Do I still want to come?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You will become a Bowie fan.
The show is so much about the music. But it's also really about the time and his life and his just struggles to find himself. And he did it in such an extrapolated way. He had so many different characters. And so the show is so much about that.
Now, you did this also when he was still living, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not like you know, capitalize isn't the right word. It's not like you did this as a tribute to him after his death. This is a tribute to him while he was living.
Absolutely.
And it goes on beyond his death.
And we had planned to do the show again and bring it back. And it sort of really knocked us over when we lost him.
Knocked everybody
over. Took us
over.
A whole year to just even get it together we're going to do this again.
Do you
again.
Think he knew about your performance?
I don't know, but
just
I'll
say yes.
I honestly think he did.
Probably did.
He really knew about everything going on, and especially working so much on the show on Broadway, Lazarus, and everything going on. I think he was very entrenched. That's the kind of dude that he was.
Yeah. I even had a letter I wrote him that I was going to send him about that for the third time we were going to do it.
We should say we didn't wish him happy birthday. His birthday was last week with Elvis too. So,
Lise, tell us about Strike Anywhere Performance Ensemble.
Sure. It's a company that I founded in New York in 1997, and we're a group of jazz musicians, modern dancers, and actors, and we create work together as an ensemble. It's a permanent ensemble. Generally, the shows are pretty political.
Right time to be doing that,
if
you ask me.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Where do you perform in any specific venue in New York?
We don't have our own theater. Lately, we've been doing a lot of work actually overseas. We have a big project. We're doing a sound painting project actually in France.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah, it's great.
No, I have. I'm serious. Cool. I've heard of it.
Well, sound painting, of sound painting has really expanded in Europe. Walter moved there in about 2005. And I mean, there's well over 50 sound painters across Europe.
I feel like I've been living under a rock that I didn't know that word or know the practice or theory.
It's not
of
well
it.
Known and, in the United
and,
States.
And I'm she'll tell you, I'm like trivia information.
She knows everything.
Lady, so I'm kind of upset with myself, like, well, what is this? So
Adam, tell us about Super Creeps. General, we're running in our last minute or so.
David Bowie tribute band.
You play around town.
Yes, we do.
Do you have a regular gig?
We've been doing a lot of stuff lately at the Highball.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
Which
the
one?
Highball.
Aren't there two now?
No.
No, sorry. Yeah. You know what? I've got it mixed up with that other one. There's the Highball-esque thing that's up on Anderson Lane. It's not really a Highball.
No, Highball.
It's called something else.
We also tend to play what we like. It's come broader, but a lot of the stuff that we like was from that mid-70s area, which is where the kind of narrative of this show is from. So it's a lot of what they call the Berlin years. We're both doing a lot of very abstract and ambient stuff and non-commercial for him, but also had a lot of hits in there, like Heroes.
Well, we are so happy to have had y'all on this show.
Thank you, Lisa.
We're not stepping backstage today, otherwise we get to learn a little bit more about you backstage, but we're not going to go, so you'll have to come back and join us backstage at some point.
Do you have time to play the clip?
The clip will play as we move out.
Excellent.
So we will be playing a little piece. Do you want to talk about that clip and what it is?
Well, it's...
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Well, you actually get to hear both Nolan and Adam are featured on this clip. In this, it's a sound painting of space oddity, and we're really playing with the themes of isolation and loneliness.
Wonderful. Well, that was the Andrea Ariel Dance Theater Company, as well as about Strike Anywhere Performance Ensemble and Super, not about Strike, Strike Anywhere Performance Ensemble and Super Creeps. Their show, The Bowie Project, a rock and soul sound painting, is January 26th through 29th. At Ironwood Hall on 7th Street. For more information, arieldance.org. And here we'll hear a little piece of this music.
Sometimes it's hard for me to tell whether I'm writing the characters, or if they're writing me, or if it's all one and the same. And I would have never admitted to it at the time, but now I can clearly see that my space creations are really just facets of my own personality.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Major Tom? Aladdin Sane?
Ground control to Ziggy. Major Tom.
We have to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So that's it. There is no backstage today, and we will go out with a little bit of Jennifer Holliday. Here we go.
I am changing. Sing everything's